Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
All right, I figured we had to do some UFC stuff this week. Paul Fontaine is here with me. We're going to talk UFC 300. If you haven't heard, Paul joined me to do a quick update on In the Clinch. And In Clinch is on hiatus. So because of that, I decided if we don't have In the Clinch, we do have to at least preview UFC 300. Let me start with this, Paul, because we just got through WrestleMania 40, and there was so much hype for WrestleMania 40 with The Rock coming back. And TKO is sort of selling the idea of these two giant events a week apart. I don't feel the same fervor and hype for UFC 300. Why is that?
I don't know. And you know what the funny thing is now that you mentioned that, I don't recall seeing anything on WrestleMania promoting UFC 300, which really surprised me. Now, it's possible that they did in the States because, you know, on if you're watching on the Peacock, you probably had commercials, and I don't have that. So it is possible that they did, but I don't remember seeing it. But yeah, for me, like, it's the card is awesome, but it lacks that marquee main event that gets everyone super excited. So for me, like, yeah, I mean, it's not even in the universe of WrestleMania 40, it's more like probably just like an average WWE pay-per-view in terms of my excitement for it. Probably less than an average AEW pay-per-view, to be honest with you.
All right. So I very much remember UFC 100. I very much remember how excited I was for UFC 100. UFC 200, there was a lot of like chaos involved in putting that show together. So yeah, obviously Brock Lesnar's involved in both of those shows, and he's not involved in this one. But is the reason why this show isn't promoted in that same way? I mean, you said there's not that one marquee fight, but is it also because there's really no onus on UFC to get that outside celebrity or get that the person who, you know, Ronda Rousey, for instance? I think people were rumoring like, oh, it'd be crazy if she came back for UFC 300. Like, there's no real impetus for them because of how their business works.
I think that's a big part of it. I also think that this regime is not as into the traditions as the old one was. So, you know, like how we used to always have a Memorial Day weekend pay-per-view, they take the week off. International Fight Week is always the week surrounding Independence Day, and this year it's like a week earlier. They just don't care. It's whatever works for them is going to work for them. And yeah, because the pay-per-view money is guaranteed, they're not in, like, they're still going to promote the card, and they got tickets to sell. So, you know, like, they're going to try to put together a good card.
And but I imagine the gate is going to break all kinds of records as
I think
the prices are.
Yeah, I think the last one broke a record for like a bantamweight title fight, you know, for a gate, or actually it was a non-Conor gate, I think. And so this one will break that, and it's another non-Conor gate. So you know, they're going to do huge money for this, and they got a Conor fight coming. So, believe that'll probably be announced this weekend. Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. It's going to be a big show. Like, they've been doing a really good job of marketing this show, but they're marketing it to people that are already watching. Mm-hmm. So the problem is that, like, I've seen a few people that are casual fans that, you know, probably heard about UFC 300, but they don't really know much about the card. And they're like, how come this isn't being promoted? And the funny thing is, I'm like, I thought they'd been promoting it really well. And then it dawned on me, well, that's because it's on the shows I'm already watching.
Yeah, you're watching those shows already. Now, there is this synergy between WWE and UFC. We saw Michael Chandler on Raw cut a promo. The Rock himself is involved because he is the shoe distributor for the UFC. Mm-hmm. But I just figured now, you know, he was heavy into the wrestling thing, but being on the board of TKO means that he's not only on the board for WWE, but he's also on the board for UFC. I figured they would utilize him in some way, and maybe they still will, because there's still a couple days before the show. But at least I thought, okay, The Rock will somewhat be involved. He'll do a video promo for them or something. I mean, we haven't seen it yet.
I mean, if he does anything, I mean, I could see him promoting or presenting the BMF title. He did that before once with Masvidal and Diaz, so he could do that again here. I expect we're going to see a lot of WWE people in the crowd. I would think that probably on SmackDown they'll promote UFC 300, and that'll be a huge audience. So, but maybe not. Like, they didn't promote it on Raw, and that was a massive audience. So, yeah, it's very odd that they're not, because it seems to me like this would be the perfect weekend, and given that they've already had a bunch of crossover. Rock, again, it's in his best interests to promote. He's on the board. He just got that super nice dividend check. You know, for all the work he did promoting WrestleMania. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, UFC does all their best promotion, like, pretty much starting now. So, you know, we're recording this Friday or Thursday afternoon, my time, you know, but, well, I guess it's still afternoon your time. So I mean, from now till Saturday, like, that's when their hard promotion kicks in. So it'll be, I'm sure ESPN will be all over it, and you know, and all the celebrities will start coming in. It's in Vegas, so, you know, there'll be a lot of big names there.
To me, the most, it's not the most interesting, it's not the fight that I'm most excited about, but the fight that I'm most interested in, not only seeing the result, but really seeing what this person looks like, is Kayla Harrison and Holly Holm. It is on the prelim, so, mm-hmm. I mean, talk about a fight that PFL would have died to be in the main event on their show. What have we heard about Kayla and the weight cut and her first UFC fight? Like, I think it should be maybe even a bigger deal than it is, being on the prelims. I don't know. What are you thinking about this?
Well, first of all, with the weight, I understand she was at 150 pounds like a month ago, so I don't think that's gonna be an issue at all. I'm surprised by that, to be honest with you, but that's what I heard. So it is possible, you know, that that's not going to be an issue at all. And in terms of, I think the reason they're putting it on the prelims is because they want to maximize the eyeballs, you know, and the prelims have been doing crazy numbers on ESPN.
This lately. Will probably do the best number of the year.
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, we're talking probably 1.5 million viewers, probably like a 0.6 in the demo, and you know, and that's only on ESPN. And then we got, you know, a lot of people watch on ESPN Plus as well, because the, you know, if you do that, then you just, you don't even have to change the channel, you just watch the pay-per-view after. So to me, like, it does make sense to put her on the pre-show, because I don't think Kayla Harrison is selling any pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. But you know, you may get those curiosity eyeballs, and Holly Holm is a big star. And one of the things with UFC is they always tend to put, they have marketable women with big names. And when they put them on the prelims, they do really big numbers. And this goes back Misha Tate, Paige VanZant, you know, I think there's, what's her name? Michelle Watterson. Mm-hmm. You know, so this could be another case of that. And Holly Holm is a big name, and honestly, still a contender. Like, that's a really weak division. Really, the winner of this fight probably is going to get a title shot right away. You know, this could be like a Brock Lesnar situation where Kayla Harrison comes in, does one fight, and then it's going right for the title. Raquel Pennington is a very beatable champion. So yeah, I was looking at the card as well, and, you know, like kind of prepping for, you know, us to do the show. And that's the one to me that kind of stands out in terms of the one I'm most interested in. I'm also interested in Bo Nickel, who we'll talk about in a little while. And then, you know, and just up and down the card, I mean, there's a bunch of big fights, but this one stands out. And yeah, and you're right. Like if PFL was doing a pay-per-view and they had access to Holly Holm, this would be the main event.
Yeah, absolutely.
No question. But again, nobody would buy it. So, you know.
Well, I mean, they would buy it if it was UFC pay-per-view.
Oh yeah.
Not but, PFL pay-per-view.
Yeah. Like if this was the headline fight of the card, I don't think it would do any less buys. I'm not sure it would do any more buys, but you know, UFC doesn't really operate like that. Like if it was a title fight, yeah, maybe it would be the main event, but they always, if there's a title fight, it's the main event. Like they always go title over big name, always.
The opener, as far as I can tell on the early prelim card, is Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the reason for that?
Well, the reason is, so, I mean, it's a super deep card. So I think the point is you've got two former champions and they're in the first match. So yeah, man, what a deep card this is.
The early prelims strong, I guess.
And I do think they're also, they've been promoting that these matches are on Fight Pass. At least that's what I'm seeing because it's in Canada. I don't know if it's the same in the US.
ESPN Plus and ESPN.
But not Fight Pass?
I don't know. It doesn't say Fight Pass.
Okay. So it may be that I'm seeing the Canadian marketing, but I know that they're trying to sell people to buy Fight Pass because the only way you can see these fights is if you have Fight Pass in Canada. So, you know, like if you want to see Cody Garbrandt and Davison Figueiredo, which is a pretty great fight, you got to have Fight Pass. And believe it or not, like the numbers for Fight Pass, like they're continuing to climb. I don't understand why, because they don't have Fight Pass cards. They don't even have exclusive prelims there. They have all these regional shows that I don't think anybody watches, but I guess maybe people are buying for the archive. I don't know.
But doesn't ESPN Plus also have the archive?
I don't know.
They may have some stuff.
I don't know. But yeah, so I mean, I think that's it. Like, I think it's more of like the point of, man, you know, this card is so deep that this is the first, because there's probably three or four fights that I would put, you know, below this. If you want to talk about marquee value, you know, Jalen Turner and Renato Moicano, Sadiq Youssef and Diego Lopez, those ones kind of stand out to me. I mean, this really, if this was on the main card, it wouldn't be out of place. So, or the featured prelim, you know.
I mean, just because of sort of the history of Jim Miller, I would have liked to see him a little bit higher up on the card. I don't know if they could have put this fight on the main card, but just for that story of him, it's a fantastic story of him being on this show at 40 years old. I like that kind of stuff probably more than, you know, most people, but I saw that as like, oh, I wonder why, you know, they didn't try and put this at least, you know, on the prelims rather than the early prelims. But again, maybe it's also to go, hey, you know, you got to come early if you want to see Jim Miller, and we're going to tell this story, and you got to, you know, you got to check in as soon as you can.
I think so. And you know, the funny thing is he, like, you talk about him being 40. He's on quite the roll. Like, he's won five of his last six fights, all by finish. If he beats Bobby Green, he's probably going to be ranked. And the way he's talking, like, he's probably kind of joking, but like, he's like, you know what, give me a spot on UFC 400. You know, like he's been talking about 300 now for like 4 years. And, you know, everybody's been pushing for it. They want him to be on 300 net. And then, you know, the end of last year, I think it was like November or something, he gets a win and you're like, okay, great. You know, he's going to be on 300. He's going to be coming off a win. And then he books a fight in January. It was June of last year. So it was a little bit later, but he books a fight in January. And I'm like, what are they doing? Like, he might get hurt. He might, you know, he might not be able to make 300. And he's like, Dana announced before that fight, he's on 300 no matter what, like, unless he, you know, breaks an arm or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, that dude's an OG and man, like, he's going to get, one of the biggest reactions on the show, I think, depending on how many people are in the building, you know, and Vegas is a notoriously late arriving crowd. So, you know, that, again, I feel like you do as well. Like, I'd at least like to see this on the main prelims.
Yeah.
At the very least. But, you know, if you put it on the card, you know, but I mean, man, you look at this main card and I don't know what you take off. a lot of people would say Bo Nickel, but there's a reason they want him on the main card.
I think he's the perfect guy to open the show.
Oh yeah, no, there is, but that's the main complaint I see is people. Well, why are you putting Bo Nickel on the main card? It's like you don't get it.
Speaking of Jim Miller, I mean, since about he's been around for so long. Since the early 2010s, he's been super streaky. He'll like win three, then he'll like lose two, then he'll win three, and then he'll lose four. And, you know, he has had some ups and downs, you know, of late. But, you know, since October of 2011, like you said, he's won five out of his last six. And, you know, I'm going to guess that it's also in part because of the competition. He's not facing the, you know, the top contenders of the division, but still, I don't know. Can you shoehorn him in some way of a booking to give him? I mean, you can't gift title fights, but how far away is he from actually getting a legitimate big fight?
I, you know what, the problem is that division is so like stacked. I mean, you know, you look at like, you know, we've got Charles Oliveira and Armand Sarukian fighting on this card in that division. We've got, you know, like that division has, you know, Max Holloway is kind of flirts with being in that division. Justin Gaethje, you know, Connor, you know, is going to be either there or welterweight. I mean, there's so many big names. I think the best possible thing for Miller might be, you know, if you put him in against somebody like kind of a middle, maybe like a lower, because he's going to be ranked. So maybe if you put him in something in the back half of the top 15 and then he gets a win there, you might be able to market like a BMF fight, you know, with him. And that would be perfect. You know, like Jim Miller and Justin Gaethje for the BMF title. Like, you know, to me, that could headline a pay-per-view. You know, but I think like for him, I mean, he'd have to beat, you know, probably two guys in the top 10 and one of those being in the top five to get a title shot. And I'm just not sure he can actually do that.
Yeah.
But if he did, like, he's going to vault ahead of a lot of ranked guys, you know, like without names, especially, you know, given the story and given, you know, how old he is. And, you know, like this is his last chance and all that. I'm just pulling up the rankings. Like, yeah, I mean, you got Dustin Poirier, Matthias Gamrot, Michael Chandler, Beneil Dariush. I would probably go like Jim Miller and maybe like Dan Hooker, you know, for like the next fight. And then if he happens to win that, then, you know, you stick him in against, you know, like maybe a Michael Chandler, you know, coming off the Conor fight. And that's a big fight. And, you know, if he beats Michael Chandler, yeah, he gets a title shot off of that for sure. But I just don't think I don't think he would. But, you know, you never know. Like, he's got such a great ground game, and that doesn't go away with age. The power sometimes does, especially with the lighter weight fighters. But the submission skills, like, he's, you know, and he looks better now than he did when he was 30. Like, it's crazy. And, you know, he's got some names in there. Gabriel Benitez is not, you know, nobody. And he's got Donald Cerrone, you know, that he beat in that streak. So, you know, there's some names there. I'm pulling for that guy. But I mean, you know, he could easily get knocked out by Bobby Green, and then, you know,
great story. Yeah, it's a great story. And then,
yeah,
you know, we'll see what happens.
This is a fight they've tried to make like three times, and we're finally getting it. So that's another one for us longtime fans that, you know, follow this sport, like, you know, as closely as I do, to finally see these two go at it is pretty cool.
I am going to be out of town on Saturday, so I am not going to be doing Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave and Ryan Frederick, and I'm probably not even going to be able to watch at least the pay-per-view portion of this show. So I didn't, you know, I still even haven't watched the countdown. You know how I like watching the countdown, because I find that to be so fun to see what's going on in these guys' lives before the fight. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be as dialed in as I have for all of the UFC shows so far this year, but let's go through the best bets. You use this ROI system, and give me like your three best as far as what you may be putting some money on.
Yeah, and if for those that are watching or listening that are in our Discord, Ryan and I have been posting our picks in the show thread every week. So, you know, we'll do like a five fight parlay. And my 5-5 parlays have been getting super close. So if you want to play it safe and just like just bet straight money on, you know, each fight, you probably make a decent profit if you took the picks I've been doing lately. And I base those on the RFI. So my first one is Aljamain Sterling. He's got an ROI of 91.2. Former bantamweight champion, moving up to featherweight. He's fighting Calvin Kattar, which is, you know, a tough opponent, obviously, but he should win. I mean, this is, I think, a fight that he's being kind of put in that he should win. The only loss he's had is against Sean O'Malley, and that was the title fight since what are we looking back here?
The Boston show, whenever that was.
Yeah,
last year sometime.
Yeah, no, long time. Yeah, that's the last fight, but before that, it's 2017. So he's only had one loss in the last 6.5 years. It was December 2017. So I think he's, you know, pretty safe bet. He's it doesn't pay great, so you might want to throw this one on a parlay. But he's you know, they're looking to get him. It's minus 140, so it's not bad odds at all. So he's the first one. The second one is Yuri Prochazka again. Another former champion, former light heavyweight champion, and he's back. He's fighting Alexander Rokic. This one should be a banger, and I would also maybe throw a little prop bet on this one not going too long, so maybe like under 1.5 rounds. Prochazka is – I'm just pulling up the odds here. He's actually a slight underdog, plus 110, and I remember this. He, for some reason, he always wins when he's an underdog. So, you know, like when he's a favorite, he loses, but he always wins as an underdog. He's got one of the best ROIs of all the guys I've tracked at 84.8%.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
And then my third is Charles Oliveira at 67.5. He's facing Arman Tsarukyan. Tough fight for him, but Oliveira, again, another former champion. He is a plus 185 underdog, so it's paying really well. Both these guys have won 4 of their last 5. I just think the championship experience is going to get him ahead, and he usually beats the guys that are ranked beneath him. It's just when he gets up against, like, you know, Islam Akhchev is like two of his losses, him and Khabib. So, Oliveira, Yuri Prochazka, and Aljamain Sterling are my 3 best bets. And in the Discord, I'll post 5 later, along with some props. So that'll be, I'll post those probably Saturday morning. But these are the guys I'm going to bet on for sure.
Max Holloway, one of my favorite fighters to watch. He faces Justin Gaethje. And you have to go back to, I think it's like 2019, since he lost to someone other than Alexander Volkanovski.
Yep.
Where do you think he is in his career at this point?
It's tough to say because he's had so many wars. I mean, it's hard to believe he's only 32. I remember him. I mean, he's one of my favorite fighters as well. I the first time I really took notice of him was when he fought Andre Touchy-Feely. That was 10 years ago. And that was a great fight. And, he won by submission, and they were both kind of in the same position at that time. And Feely's still around, but, you know, he kind of wins one, loses one and everything. He had that fight with Conor McGregor. That was actually before that, where he lost by decision. And that was like one of the only fights that Conor even went the distance in UFC in the early part of his career. But, you know, and then he went on that super long win streak and lost to Poirier. And then he lost 3 times to Volkanovski. But he's coming off wins over Arnold Allen, who's a top contender, and the Korean Zombie. But he is moving up to lightweight, and that could be a trouble, because the only other time he's done that, he lost. Although that was short notice, and this one, they booked this a long time ago. I think 155 is a better weight for him. I mean, you look at his body, he's a really big 145-pounder. I don't know how he makes it. I've met Max Holloway. Dude towers over me, and he doesn't look skinny, like, in real life. So I don't know how this dude makes 145, but he does. And he's fighting Justin Gaethje, who hits harder as anyone in his weight class and probably as hard as anyone at 170. So this is going to be, you know, like, it's going to, if it doesn't end early, he's going to take a lot of damage. And this is what worries me with him, is he is one of these guys, you know, like kind of like a Diego Sanchez, you know, that just probably takes too much damage for his own good. And at some point it's going to catch up to him, or Tony Ferguson, you know, another one, but we've yet to see that decline. So, and if he loses to Gaethje, I mean, it's not like you can say he's washed up or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always had him on my list of like my top five fighters that, you know, just my favorite fighters to watch, just a great person. You know, but Gaethje's another one, you know, that is never has a bad fight. This one, I mean, if this doesn't win fight of the night, I'll be shocked, but there's a few other ones in here that could. So, I'm really looking forward to this one, but again, I don't know where we're at. I put it this way. I'd say it's less likely than more likely that Holloway ever wins a title again. If you know, maybe that's a simple answer to your question, is he's probably on the backside of his career.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very easy to watch him and go, okay, he's not at his peak, you know, he's not in his prime. But we've also seen scenarios in which, you know, guys who you may think are, you know, maybe not in the title picture anymore, all of a sudden they get some wins and mm-hmm. they make some changes, whether it's in their training or in their lifestyle, and then they're kind of back. And that's what I hope for him is...
Charles Oliveira.
Yeah, know, Charles Oliveira is one of them.
Yeah, Rafael Dos Anjos.
I just hope for... because I think Max... I think he's got marketable skills. I think he's very likable. He sort of reminds you a little bit of how the old school guys back when the UFC was becoming popular, how they kind of handled themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the Blessed nickname. I love that. I've always just been a fan of how he's handled himself. And when you see guys who were, you know, once great, and then they're all of a sudden not great anymore, it's kind of hard because this sport is brutal and unforgiving. And it's just, he is one that I hope kind of, you know, can find a second life in this sport.
I got to say, I really, really love this BMF title. And I don't know how often they're going to use it. Every time they do it, they kind of hint that, okay, this is the last time we're going to see it. But I think it's a great idea. And you got these fighters from like about 145 to 170 that just these OG gangster kind of type fighters. And there's a lot of them that there's so many matchups that I would love to see, you know, and this BMF title kind of gives you a reason to do it. I mean, I would love to see Holloway and Chandler. I'd love to see Connor and McGregor and see if they actually had a division, you know, with rankings of the BMF title.
I was thinking about that too.
I think it would be like the best division in MMA. You know, it's almost like the New Japan Never Open Weight title, you know.
Yeah, but do you lose points for takedowns? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I don't think that matters. I mean, we saw a little bit of that in I think it might have been Masvidal Diaz, but most of the time these guys just go nuts. And you know, like Poirier and Gaethje, they seem to fight, like, you know, there's like Poirier, Gaethje, and Chandler, like two of the three of them fight every year at MSG. You know, and it's like yeah, so I mean, the one for me, what I would really love to see from Max Holloway, more than a title, I would love to see him get that rematch with Connor at some point. Mm-hmm. Just that big money fight, you know, where he can just, you know, make money and then go buy an island in Hawaii and retire.
It's the second time you've mentioned Connor, and we're going to get to Connor here at the end of this show. All right, there is a pretty historic fight on the semi-main. The UFC Women's Strawweight Championship, Zhang Weili and Yan, and I don't know how to pronounce her.
I think it's Zhao Nan.
Xiaonan. That sounds good. First time two Chinese-born athletes will meet for a title in the organization. I think that is very interesting, but also at the same time, when you, from a marketability standpoint, it seems like, you know, putting it in the semi-main is probably the right move, but not that I know enough about the challenger here to even make it like the historic fight that it actually is.
Well, I mean, she's definitely earned the title shot. You know, she's got two wins in a row over Mackenzie Dern and Jessica Andrade, both huge names. She finished Jessica Andrade, who is one of the, you know, she's like probably the female version of Max Holloway. Like, she's been around forever. She competed in like three different divisions. And I think she has the UFC record for most wins by a woman. So her winning that definitely earned her this title shot. They do have like common opponent in Carla Esparza that they've both recently fought, and she lost to Carla, and Zhang Weili won. So, you know, I do believe Zhang Weili is going to be favored in this fight. Yeah, she's really actually a heavy favorite, almost over 4-1 favorite. But I don't think you can count either one of these two out, because Zhang Weili has shown her defense isn't great. So, I mean, she's probably the best striker in the division in terms of her offensive striking. But I would say for her defense, she's shown a propensity to get hit. And she's been beaten twice by Rose Namajunas. You know, two of her three career losses were to Rose. So I don't think I think these odds are bad, honestly. And I'm going to be throwing money on the challenger in this one, even though, you know, if the money was heads up odds, I would pick Zhang Weili, but because it's so weighted in her favor, I'm going to go with the underdog. It's definitely a marketable fight. And I mean, I think if this was even, you know, like if they were doing a show in China, like, and obviously this would headline and it would probably do great numbers, or, you know, if they went to Singapore or something like that. But, you know, being in the co-main here, I think it's pretty big, and they may get a lot of people buying the fight over there. And I'm sure that's the goal.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's really cool for one.
Yeah. It's going to be a great fight. It's going to be a great fight.
I do hope that it gains some sort of international recognition. All right, so the main event is Alex Pereira defending the light heavyweight championship, which has been sort of a cursed belt of late.
Yeah.
Against Jamahal Hill, who won the belt in a unanimous decision over Glover Teixeira, and then tore his Achilles tendon playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And then his first fight back from the Achilles tear is a championship fight against a badass kickboxer. I don't know, man. That sounds pretty dangerous to me. The movement from an Achilles tear seems tough to be put in right smack dab in the middle of the main event of UFC 300 coming off of this injury.
To me, this feels like a horrendous mismatch. And really, even when Jamahal Hill won the title over Glover Teixeira, like, I mean, he beat a really old Glover Teixeira. And it was a guy that, you know, had some great fights and really was like defying the laws of aging. And this kind of is just where it caught up. And it wasn't a great fight. And he, you know, he eked out a decision. I remember that was the week I was in Disney World, actually. And I remember kind of watching this fight, scrambling to watch the fight before I did the show with Ryan. And I almost fell asleep watching it. Like, it was a boring fight. And you just like, he looked like the guy that, okay, next guy that gets a shot at Jamahal Hill is going to be the light heavyweight champion. And then it turns out, you know, he gets injured, and then they do, you know, Pereira ends up winning the vacant title. I just think this is just, you know, I want to say a showcase fight for Pereira. Odds are pretty close, honestly. I don't know. I think he's kind of in over his head a little bit.
Dave Meltzer's phone ringing just came.
Yeah, it's my work phone. It'll go to voicemail right away. I should have muted it. Sorry. I put a quarter in the jar. $5, I guess it is, right?
Bo Nickel, we mentioned him, and this is a good showcase for him. Are you as high on Bo as everyone else seems to be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can almost guarantee he's a future champion. Cody Brundage has a record of 10-5, and at first glance you would look and say, you know what, he's this is a pushover, and maybe it is, but he's you can't take this guy lightly. He's a finisher, and this fight is going to be quick. I would almost guarantee this fight's going to end in the first round. It's probably going to be Bo Nickel winning, but Cody Brundage could beat him. So Nickel's got the best training in everything. And they're, UFC is going to hype this thing up or whatever. I think like he's just on a collision course with whoever the middleweight champion is going to be. The dream match would have been Adesanya. But he's gone now, although, he could come back, but whoever is going to be the middleweight champion when Nickel's ready, which I would say is probably about 15 months from now. Mm-hmm. He's probably needs about 3 more wins. And then, and I think he's going to be like, he's just got everything. He's got the look, he's got the promo ability, he's got the fighting, he's got the wrestling, he's got the knockout power. He's everything that what's that guy in Bellator, Aaron Pico, was supposed to be. That's mm-hmm. what this guy is. And he's just, I can't, he's just must-see TV every time he fights. I saw him live, and it was worth the hype.
And if you have any belief that Cody Brundage could win this fight, he's a plus one, at least the odds that I was sent this morning, plus 1100. So,
well, and on my ROI, he is the pick, but the only reason for that is because Bo Nickel, the odds are always so low that you can't make any money betting on him.
Yeah.
So, that's the thing. So it's honestly worth, putting a small bet down at those odds. Like, let's say you normally bet, I don't know if this might sound bad or good to whoever you're perspective. I throw like $50 on like pretty much every UFC fight. So if you normally would throw 50, put like 10.
Yeah.
on Cody Brundage, and because you're gonna get like $100 back if he wins, and if you lose, well, you only lost $10. Or if you want to bet Nickel, you just throw him on a parlay.
It's your money. Why would anybody judge you for spending your money?
But when you're making that many bets, like most of them are a wash. Like most weeks, I think I bet like a couple weeks ago, it was like I bet 15 bets on the UFC, and I made like $40. So it's like, you bet like $750, but you're not losing everyone. There's no way you're losing all the bets.
Look,
like,
as long as you are not Shohei's translator or former translator, Ipe, and in the hole for $16 million, then you're fine. Right.
And as long as my wife doesn't watch this show.
All right. So let's actually talk a little bit about Roadhouse. This is not popcorn and pile drivers with me and LaRocca here, but I'm very intrigued as your thoughts on Conor McGregor's performance in this movie, and his role was way bigger than I actually realized.
Yeah, and it's funny because originally this was supposed to be a Ronda Rousey vehicle, mm-hmm. and it makes me wonder like which role she would have had. And I would think like her role would have been more like the Dalton role.
Yeah, I think
So Connor, like that was, I don't know, maybe it was going to be somebody else. Maybe it was going to be Connor. Like, I don't know, but, or maybe a female. This is going to sound weird, but I thought Connor was incredible in his role. Like he was just captivating. You couldn't take your eyes off him, like, except for when he was showing his ass.
He showed his ass a lot in this movie.
He
did not wear a shirt very often, which made you stare at his odd pecs. Odd shaped body for someone who
in that kind of shape, I would never wear a shirt. He's captivating and you can't watch him. But I will also say the first half of the movie I thought was a much better movie.
Mm-hmm.
When Connor showed up, the movie was ruined, but it was entertaining as hell to watch him, but the movie just completely went off the rails when he showed up. So it sounds like a dichotomy, but I think I was glad I watched it, and I'm looking forward to see, like, I think especially if you stuck around for the end credits, it's pretty clear there's going to be a sequel, and he's going to be the probably the baby face in the sequel.
Oh, you think it's going to be the baby face?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's kicked ass in this movie.
Okay. And, so I don't know if he's going to be the baby face, but it could be one of those things where, and here's what I'll compare this movie to, because I thought the violence was so nonsensical that it was over the top. And then I realized, I was like, wait a second here. I am a fan of Fast and Furious, and this is a version of that kind of movie. And then I thought, okay, wait a second. Let's create a Roadhouse universe and let's utilize combat sports athletes in some of these roles, because Connor works so well. I don't know who else you could put in there. You know, the Diaz brothers don't look as great without their shirts off as Connor does, but there are some, you know, there's some guy, and the fight scenes will be realistic and they'll be over the top and they'll be really athletic. And
Luke Rockhold, I don't know if he can act, but he sure looks the part.
But and you can even add boxers GSP. And wrestlers in it as well. Like just the idea of, hey, we're going to do this little wink, wink, nod, nod thing. And we're going to build this universe around
Rock
guys. Yeah. Like perfect.
Yeah.
Right. So, but here's the thing that kind of hurt it, which is because Amazon bought the film, they bought it exclusively to be shown on their service and it skipped theaters. And to me, this movie is way better on the big screen than on your television screen. So it's unfortunate that I think it could have actually had some legs on the big screen versus just watching it on the Amazon service. So I was kind of bummed about that. But ultimately, you know, the problem with McGregor, sometimes you can't exactly understand what he says. And there was a couple, I was like, what did he say? I'm not quite sure what he said. But his persona was kind of perfect, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's an ass kicker. He just like walking through, he's like Jason almost, you know, like you just can't destroy this guy. And, you know, and then the other guy, you know, like he's a nice guy and he's a good ass kicker and everything. But, you know, he just kind of ran away with his tail between his legs after getting this bar destroyed. Like he failed. Like,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, I was shocked at the end. It's like, man, okay, and then Connor just walks out of the hospital. Like,
he's still the baby.
Failed, dude. No.
What? Because he's still the baby face because he stole the money and gave it to the good people of the town.
Yeah, so they can fix all the damage he caused.
Yeah, that was a part of the movie where they did not seem to care very much, which is the bar gets destroyed over and over and over and over again, and they're like, we're fine. Yeah, we'll be fine.
They're like, should we open? And the guy, there's a boat in our window. I say, whatever. Just open the bar.
So the bar owner in the movie is a woman who I've started to see a lot of. Her name is Jessica Williams. She was in a couple of TV shows that I watched on Max and Apple TV. She's in Shrinking, which is really good on Apple TV. And she's like, I'm starting to see her in a lot of stuff. And I'm like, she should be in like every single one of these things, as should the woman who Jake Gyllenhaal's character Dalton was sort of romantically involved. Like when you put charismatic and attractive people in these glossy films, like it makes money, and you know, the stunts will have to be even more over the top the next time. But okay, before we go, what did you think of the UFC tie-in to this movie?
Well, the funny thing is I was there when they filmed that scene. That was at last year, the show in March. I can't remember what pay-per-view it was, 287 or something. So I saw it live, and it was interesting. I remember when I watched it live, I was thinking the ref should have stopped the fight.
Yeah.
You know, and he like Gyllenhaal like put too much damage on that dude. But yeah, it was interesting because the idea that this former champion was now like working, you know, hustling and, you know, like basically, you know, trying to make enough money to pay his rent, you know, like every month, and not that long after being UFC champion, I'm trying, my memory's failing me. I'm not sure if he actually won the title or if he got disqualified or something. Like, I'm not exactly sure, but this dude was broke. And, you know, and this came, I watched this, I think it was the same day that, settlement came in the fighter lawsuit, and where the fighters took way less money than they should have. And it's like, yeah, that's par for the course. And this, this dude who was a champion in UFC is, you know, he's got no money and he's got to take a gig as a, you know, like whatever he was getting paid, $5,000 a month to be a bouncer, basically, which good money for a bouncer. But, you know, it was kind of sad. And the idea that, yeah, in this business that's making multi-billion dollars a year for their TV rights, the fighters are, you know, just worker bees that are broke as soon as their career's over.
I would have preferred that there was no UFC tie-in, because I think the flashbacks to his fight career, ultimately there was no payoff, because we have no idea why he decided. Like, Connor's character gives us a little bit of information, which is, you know, not Connor. It was the other bad guy who hired Connor.
The first one.
And he was just like, you know, if supposedly you were friends with this guy and then you're winning the fight, and then you had to land that one last shot, which I'm assuming we believe to be he killed the guy in the cage.
Yeah. Or? So I thought I missed something, but I guess they didn't explain it. Yeah.
And then he never told the audience why.
Was he banned? Did he quit? Like, right. We don't know.
So if the idea for the movie, which I thought when I started watching, was, oh, he's actually going to get back in the cage to redeem himself.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
that didn't happen. So unless it's just this long lead into the second film and he actually does get back into the octagon, but I would have preferred the octagon stuff not even be there. I don't know if they decided because Connor was going to be in the movie, or like you said, because Ronda was originally pegged for it. I would have just let's have a different backstory, because the UFC backstory did not make any sense to me.
Yeah, it would have been, they could have done the same thing with just having him be like this legendary bar fighter or something like that. You know, like, he didn't need UFC, but maybe that's the reason they did that, is because UFC was, I think they might have been like co-producers or something like that. So they, you know, maybe it had to be. Yeah, when I saw it, I assumed, you know, I kind of in my head had the storyline that, you know, this was a guy who, you know, like was a bouncer that was such a good fighter that he ended up in UFC, you know, or something like that. Or maybe he was like a former fighter that didn't quite make it to UFC, and then this was like his comeback. But yeah, the movie was nothing like what I imagined it was going to be. And the other thing I would say about this movie, just in general, like, I'm not even sure why they called it Roadhouse. Honestly, like, all that does is open up comparisons to the original, and this movie was nothing like the original, like, other than the fact that the main character's named Dalton and he was a bouncer. Like, I don't really know why they called it Roadhouse. Maybe the movie changed along the way, but I think that a lot of the criticism that this movie's getting wouldn't have that criticism if it was just called something completely different and had nothing to do with the original Roadhouse.
I think naming it Roadhouse gets the foot in the door, and some of the audience will be like, oh, I remember Roadhouse from the late 80s. And they kept the character. It's not, like you said, it's not like, but that movie also, the original Roadhouse, was not really successful. It's just become sort of a cult classic. Yeah. So, you know, this movie probably has already made more money just by Amazon buying it than the original Roadhouse.
Our friend Daza, who is a big movie guy, you know, he had a great point. Like, with that movie Roadhouse, like, you had a movie theater run, then you had like a videotape run, you had a Blu-ray run, you know, and now you got streaming. So it had all these opportunities to become that cult classic. Whereas this movie, it's on Amazon, you can watch it, and then that's it. Like, there's no other way to watch it. So you're gonna watch it.
It'll be on Tubi eventually, one of those services that people just kind of throw in the background.
Probably.
And Netflix. Never. Netflix may license it at some point from Amazon if Amazon service. Yeah, actually, Amazon not going to be needing cash anytime soon. But probably. I'm sure Amazon will make some more money off of it in some way. But yeah, it's not going to have the shelf life that the original one did.
never be on TV like Roadhouse was, you know. So
probably not.
You know,
I mean, how can you put that thing on TV, by the way?
Well, you can. You just mother fluffer. I don't know how Connor, like, I don't think he said three words without swearing, but then again, you can't understand a word he's saying anyways.
Okay. The way that Connor walks generally, because he is like a smaller human, right? He's not like a giant guy. So he has to puff up his shoulders and he has to always flex his chest to purport, you know, this guy that he is, or he's proven to be in the cage, at least. Do you think he walks like around like that in real life?
Yeah.
like when he's
maybe
like,
not around his house.
Well, I was going to say, like, when he and the family are like at the park.
Maybe at the park. Maybe not in his backyard.
In front of other people.
In front of other people. If there's a camera that's going to possibly take a picture of him. My guess is he probably does. I'll be honest. Like, I've never come across him socially. If you talk to Ryan, I'm sure he probably has at some point. So he could probably answer that better. But I'd put pretty good money on it that he's Conor McGregor 24/7.
So my wife actually heard Conor and Jake Gyllenhaal, I believe they were both on a podcast together. So she was like, when she said she heard them on a podcast she listens to, I was like, oh, maybe she'll actually watch it then, because there's some intrigue.
I'm trying to get my wife to watch it. Like, this is the kind of movie she would like. So I think she may have already even, I told her, like, she could probably watch it while she's working out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great kind of movie for stuff like that. But I agree. Like, if it was in the theater, we definitely would have gone. I'd have gone again. I'd have gone again to see it. Because I think I would like it more if I saw it in the theater.
So her review of Connor, because I just kept mentioning, like, gosh, this dude just keeps showing his ass. Her review of Connor was, for such like a big and muscular and fighter and this and that, he's kind of got a small ass. That was her. Her review.
Okay. Oh, so she watched the movie, or she just watched?
No, she watched it. We got to watch it. I told her that I was going to do the review with you on Friday, so we had to finish it yesterday. But both of us were kind of, she's been sick all week, and I was a little down. I was supposed to go to the office yesterday, but I woke up and I was like, I was kind of out of it. So we just kind of sat on the couch and
so that was your second time watching?
No, this the only time I watched it was yesterday.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah. So and I watched Creed 3 today. So there you go.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Okay. Thank you for doing this. I'm glad we, without in the clinch, you know, we're lacking the MMA stuff. So I was like, oh, you know, we gotta do something for UFC 300. Hope everyone, who's interested gets the show, and I hope it's a good show. I will probably, I'm going to try and watch some of the prelim stuff, but I'm just, we're going to be traveling pretty much all day. So I have no idea when we get to our stopping point. Like, you know, am I even going to be able to watch it? Like, may have to watch it on my phone, probably through ESPN Plus. So, all right. Thanks to Paul Fontaine, who he's been putting a new show up on our YouTube channel called The Joy of Wrestling, and you've done two shows so far, one with Kevin Ely and one with Jeremy Finestone. So those are up on the YouTube channel
already.
Who's that going to be?
Daza Wadsworth, the aforementioned Daza.
Okay,
we're gonna have him on this coming Monday. Time to be determined, but we're definitely doing the show. So
we are running them as live streams, and we try to put them up at least a day before. So you can check out the Fight Game Media YouTube channel if you want to check that out. But just give the quick 10-second synopsis of what the show's about.
Basically, I have a guest on that describes something in their wrestling fandom that made them happy, either a show, angle, a moment, we've had two completely different but both great shows, in my opinion, so far.
In 10 years, if you're still doing this show, I don't believe someone's going to answer with the backstage footage from All In.
You know what? If I get Matt B on.
Matt is trying very hard to stick up for that segment. He's a good trooper.
Stand up for AEW.
Tony should sign him up to give him something, because he's doing a good job. All right. So for Paul, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.